little rumpus music there in honor of Maurice Sendak, who died today at age 83. He made the monsters fun. Oh, they were ugly monsters. Ugly, but also a little needy. Helpful sometimes. A little clumsy, those monsters. A little embarrassed about being monsters. After all, who wouldn't be embarrassed about being a monster? But then they were the perfect companions for kids. A little clumsy, a little nervous, a little embarrassed about being the wrong size sometimes. That's how kids feel. Maurice Sendak has gone to Where the Wild Things Are. The child author and illustrator has died at age 83. His books and style of illustration immediately evoked a whole world of creatures and characters, dark places that were part scary but also part cozy. This was an artist who many times described how mysterious it was having those artistic forces that moved within him.
I don't know what makes me work. I don't know what makes my books good or not good. I really have no control over that, none. My only control is graphic control. That's my true talent. I don't know how that happens. I really don't know how that happens. It's like something gets plugged in inside.
Maurice Sendak there speaking in 2009, sometimes reclusive, a bit prickly about being a celebrity. In many ways, the world was the one he created.
And I did some very good books, which mostly is an isolationist form of life, doing books, doing pictures, and is the only true happiness I've ever, ever enjoyed in my life. It's sublime to just go into another room and make pictures. It's magic time.
Magic time, that's from the documentary Tell Them Anything You Want, a portrait of Maurice Sendak by Spike Jonze and Lance Bang. Speaking of magic, some words from Where the Wild Things Are, and he sailed off through night and day and in and out of weeks and almost over a year to Where the Wild Things Are. Art Spiegelman, have you been Where the Wild Things Are?
I got to spend some very close time with Maurice when he was finding an escape from his studio, and we did a project together, a jam, I guess, a comic. A two-page thing that we both worked on the same piece of paper at the same time after I'd scripted a reduced version of an interview I'd done with him that had appeared in The New Yorker back in the early 90s. And he was so playful as well as intensely engaged, and it was a wonderful time. Since then, we've stayed in touch, but more sporadically. I was afraid that this obituary notice would appear today based on what I knew about his situation, and was thinking about him. An amazing guy. You know, John, in your first sentences of what you just said, you were describing these monsters,
right?
And geez, it sounded like you were describing Maurice.
Oh, that's so funny. We're talking with Art Spiegelman, Pulitzer Prize-winning creator of the graphic novel Mouse, and a collaborator, as he just described, with Maurice Sendak, who died at age 83 today of complications from a stroke. What are your thoughts of the loss here, do you think?
Well, I think what we have now is the close of an amazing 20th century, sneaking into the 21st career as one of our really great illustrators and visual thinkers. He's an amazing artist, and he had an insight that now is becoming more and more pervasive, which is children, adults, we're all that. Kids have dark, deep thoughts that are not the twee nursery life that is caricaturally assigned to them back in the Victorian era. Adults are all frightened and brave children. That strange cocktail that comes through in his books that have gotten darker and darker as he got older are kind of a new thing that now has also flourished in the little subculture that I live in of comics and graphic novels. As they grow up, into being a new kind of children's book for unfortunately wised up adults.
We're talking with Art Spiegelman, Pulitzer Prize-winning creator of the graphic novel Mouse, on the passing of Maurice Sendak. You know, he once said that I will not lie to children. I don't like imaginative literature that sugarcoats reality in some
exactly.
way. Do you understand what he's talking about?
Absolutely. You know, like, I know it because we got to distill it and go over it in that, again, an interview that became a comic in which I just had to shuffle and find this before we talked, where he says, "Kid, I'm saying to him in surprise after he describes working on illustrations for Pierre, highly strangely sexualized, intense illustrations for Herman Melville's what he calls most meshuggah book." And I'm surprised. I say, "You're doing a book for grown-ups?" And then he responds, "Kid books, grown-up books. That's just marketing. Books are books."
You know, he described in that clip we played, "It's sublime. Just go in a room and make pictures. The only truly happiness I've ever enjoyed in my life, it's magic time." Do you know what that magic time is about?
I do when the muse is willing to talk to me, sure. You know, when you kind of disappear into the world you're making rather than try to drive this machine that is the work you're making, that's that magic time for you. And what came out was clearly a magic time for many, many people who grew up with his books and have seen them.
You referred to the darkness that emerged in his work as time went on. There will be a posthumous picture book published, actually, later this year. Do you think Maurice Sendak was a happy man at this age in his 80s?
A happy man. It's not the first phrase that would come to mind thinking of Maurice. I think the word would be kvetch. But he was also a sublime kvetch who really had a lot of warmth and some kinds of pleasure within this thing that felt very authentic. You know, he was an original in that sense.
Absolutely. Original, born in Brooklyn of parents who worked in the garment district, or at least his dad does. He comes by kvetch rightly, that's for sure. Art Spiegelman, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Art Spiegelman, friend of The Takeaway and Pulitzer Prize-winning creator of the graphic novel Mouse, thinking and talking about Maurice Sendak, who died today at age 83.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.